The following message is presented by Fellowship Bible Church from its weekly pulpit ministry. We offer an expositional study through entire books of the Bible, one verse, paragraph, or chapter at a time. We pray that you'll be blessed by listening in. Thanks for visiting.
Good morning. It's good to see you all again. It seems like it's been a long time. And you know where we are studying, in the book of Hosea. And we'll go back there. And if you were here for the last session, then you may recall that we were looking at chapter 13, the book of Hosea. And we had just actually looked at the first couple of verses in that portion. So that's where we will start out today. We will review and touch upon some of those things which we said before. From this section, and then move along to some other verses that we haven't spoken on from this section. I think it would be fitting to begin by reading what is here, and then after reading, we'll have some comments. So in Hosea chapter 13, beginning at verse number 1. When Ephraim spoke, trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. But when he offended through Baal worship, he died. Now they sin more and more and have made for themselves molded images, idols of their silver, according to their skill, all of it the work of craftsmen. They say of them, let the men who sacrifice kiss the calves. Therefore they shall be like the morning cloud, and like the early dew that passes away, like chaff blown from a threshing floor, and like smoke from a chimney. Yet I am the Lord your God. Ever since the land of Egypt, and you shall know no God but me. For there is no Savior besides me. I knew you in the wilderness, in the land of great drought, when they had pasture. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore, they forgot me. So I will be to them like a lion, like a leopard by the road. I will lurk. I will meet them like a bear deprived of her cubs. I will tear open their rib cage, and there I will devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. O Israel, you are destroyed, but your help is from me. I will be your king. Where is any other that he may save you in all your cities and your judges to whom you said, give me a king and princes? I gave you a king in my anger and took him away in my wrath. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up. His sin is stored up. The sorrows of a woman in childbirth shall come upon him, for he is an unwise son. For he should not stay long where children are born. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be your plagues. O grave, I will be your desolation. Pity is hidden from my eyes. Though he is faithful among his brethren, an east wind shall come. The wind of the Lord shall come up from the wilderness. Then his spring shall become dry, and his fountain shall be dried up. He shall plunder the treasury of every desirable prize. Samaria is held guilty, for she has rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword. The infants shall be dashed in pieces, and their women with child ripped open. Those are some very sobering words, if I may use that expression. But what we have here is that God has, God raised up Hosea to be a prophet and to proclaim his word, his message, to proclaim to the people what God wanted them to hear, which obviously was what they needed to hear. But there was more involved than just that. Because they needed not only to hear, but what else? To do. To hear and to heed is what they needed to do. Now here in the first part of this chapter, it talks about Ephraim, and we spent some time talking about that, so I'm not going to go into all the detail that we went to before. But Ephraim was a prominent tribe, and Ephraim is used here to represent Israel in the northern tribe. Israel had great prominence. We went to Genesis 48, where Jacob was given the prophecy about what was going to be with the sons. And when he laid his hands on Ephraim and Manasseh, and he put his hand on the younger rather than the older, and his son tried to correct him and said, no, that's not it. But he said, my hands on Ephraim. And it was all of purpose that Ephraim was going to be a dominant person, and said that he was. And so the scripture bears that out. So he exalted himself in Israel. So he was a dominant, or the tribe was a dominant tribe, the dominant tribe. He had an exalted place. Now the word but comes in here. And, you know, there are certain words, and as I've been going through this, I have emphasize certain little words that are really, in fact, big words. And this but here is one of them. It said, but when he offended through Baal worship. Offended through Baal worship. So you know what that is. That's not what God ordered them to do. They were to worship, and God ordered worship, but not Baal worship. But that's what they did. They didn't learn that from God or from his word or from his prophets. Nonetheless, they learned it. And not only did they hear about that business of Baal worship, but they did it. So there's a place where one ought to hear and not do. See, the scripture tells us, and as James says, you know, be a hearer of the word, but also a doer, not merely a hearer. But when you hear the wrong things, you should be merely a hearer and not a doer. And that's where they went off the track. They heard and did all the bad things. And so God had to call them up short for that. So then it says here in verse 2, they sinned more and more. And I think the last time I said something to this effect, that if they were not worshiping God, but rather was worshiping false gods, then what would be the natural result of that? Well, the words are here. Sinning more and more. So that if your worship, your focus is in the wrong place, it breeds more and more sin. That's why we have the Word of God before us, so that we can keep our eyes there in our hearts, so that we will have less and less sin. But Ephraim had more and more sin. Now, I talked some about this next part here. They made for themselves molded images. They made for themselves. We talked about that the last time before. In fact, I recall asking a question of you. Anybody remember what the question was? Well, here is what basically I asked is, what is the first reference we have in the Bible about people trying to do something for themselves to get themselves ordered correctly with God? I added that part from the way I said it before. But what was the reference I referred to? Adam and Eve. That's what I talked about in the garden, because, see, what we saw there is that the sin came in. Everything was all fine. There wasn't a need for anything until sin entered in. And once it did, they knew that something needed to be done. They knew that. So they were correct that something needed to be done. And so what is the tendency then? And I think we have some of that kind of spirit ourselves. I will do it myself. I will do what's needed. I, the big I, can do what's necessary. And so they, Adam and Eve, made for themselves a covering, because the condition that they had come to, being sinners now, having never been sinners before, they needed a covering. And so they set about to make one for themselves. And they did. The problem is that God also knew they needed a covering. But he rejected their covering that they made for themselves. Why did he do that? Well, the reason he did it is because the covering that they made for themselves was insufficient. That's why he did it. Now, we talked about how that we look across our world and we see what's going on with the various people who subscribe to various religious orders. And we see them duplicating what Adam and Eve did. They are all everywhere trying to do something themselves, for themselves, because they know that something needs to be done. But the problem is, unless the Lord does something for them, they will be in the same condition as it were at the start, still in need of a covering, as Adam and Eve were. And so that's what the situation was. They, it says here, verse 2, made for themselves molded images, idols of their silver, according to their skill. And then says, all of it, the work of craftsmen. And we mentioned that when it says the work of craftsmen, that the quality, the artistry of what they produced was at an excellent level. It wasn't kindergarten playing with putty and clay. But these were highly skilled craftsmen. In fact, we read earlier about how they tried to make better and better our shrines and things like that for their false worship. So these were the most highly skilled artisans who were preparing these things. But the problem is that it didn't matter how skilled they were, because that was not satisfactory. That's not what God required. and it was never going to be sufficient, though they did it to all their might. And then I also mentioned that just, you know, the ability that they had to make those things, those are abilities which were God-given. He gave them the ability to do that. And so any person you see who is highly skilled in anything, you can understand and look and say, well, you know, God gave them the ability to do that. Whether they're using it for good or for ill, the ability to do it came from God himself. And so God has blessed all kinds of people with all kinds of abilities and gifts. And unfortunately, many of them use them for essentially the same purpose that they were doing. False worship, things that are not pleasing to God. They use it that way. So then it says here, it says, they say of them, let the men who sacrifice kiss the calves. And we say that that is an expression of adoration or paying homage or paying honor and respect to these idols. That clearly is an affront to God to do that. But that's what they did. So then it says in the next verse here, verse 3, therefore they shall be like the morning cloud and like the early dew that passes away, like chaff blown off from a threshing floor and like smoke from a chimney. And so all these things that they do that are not pleasing to God are going to be gone in a swift moment. He's not going to accept that. They never can raise themselves to God's level and to and force him to accept something that is not what he ordered or ordained. Now in verse number 4, take note of these words. This is very fascinating to me. I suspect to many of you as well. Because we have seen in this book just so many references to the evil deeds and the idol worship and all the things that were done against God by these whom he called his own. And in verse number 4 here, after what we just read, it says, yet I am the Lord your God. That's what it says. I am, not I used to be, or I was, but I am. That's a present tense. I am. You remember when they were being called out of Egypt, and God sent Moses in to give the word that God was now going to deliver them. And he said, what shall I tell the people? Whom shall I say sent me? And he said, tell them that I am, the I am God, the self-sufficient God is sending, or was sending Moses. So he called them out of Egypt. And I'm going to turn back and pick up a couple of verses, a couple of sections here in the book of Exodus to keep ourselves tethered to the references that we're referring to here. In chapter 19 and in verse number 1, in the third month, after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. God brought them out of Egypt into that wilderness. And you remember that in the wilderness, they were given commands. God instructed them carefully about what they should do, about what they ought to do. But before we get to the next part here, I'm going to read a little bit from the commandments. But in still in chapter 19 of Exodus, He says here, and I'm just going to skip over to verse number 6. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded him. Then all of the people answered together and said, they spoke these words, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. That's what they said. That doesn't sound like what we just read in Hosea, but that's what they said. But they were God's people. He did have a purpose for them, and he intended for them to obey. And he had ways of dealing with them when they didn't. So it would have been better to simply obey and not have to be, disciplined for disobedience. Now, let me pick up a couple of verses here in chapter 20 in Exodus. I'm still there. In chapter 20 of Exodus from the Ten Commandments. And God spoke these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. So this, what was said here, was said to the people early on, long before Hosea's time. They were carefully instructed by God's servant Moses as to what God's requirements for them were. So we can say then that removes excuse. They can't say we didn't have access to the information that we needed. Sometimes people will say, I needed something to perform my job, but they hid it from me what I needed, so I couldn't get it done. But that was not so with God. He made it all clear and available to them. So he said, I am the Lord your God. Ever since the land of Egypt, you should have no other God but me. Now, you've heard the expression that God is a jealous God. Now, he's a jealous God, and we can say that in the best way, because he says, I will not share my glory with another. He said, I am God and God alone. And so you should worship me and me alone is what God is saying. I want to reference a couple of verses here a few verses here over in the book of Isaiah. Because he said, you shall know no God but me. I'll turn here to chapter 42. In the book of Isaiah, let's hear these words. I'm going to read a quick little portion here, starting at verse 1. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights, I put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will cry out. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoking fleck he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fall nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands shall wait for his law. Thus saith the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to my people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. Now, here is what I wanted you to focus on. I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. He's a jealous God. So the verse here in Hosea, again in chapter 13, where it says here, actually, yeah, 13, verse 4, yet I am the Lord your God ever since the land of Egypt, and you shall know no God but me, for there is no Savior besides me. The only hope that they had was in their God, their true God. I knew you in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. But then it says, when they had pasture, they were filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore, they forgot me. Now, have you ever had a need, a specific need? You prayed about it. You hoped God would help, and he did. But have you ever forgotten to stop and to give thanks to God for that? Or did you do like they did and forget? Now, I'll say that, and I can, you know, there have been times when I have been doing various things. I mean, there's just so many of those things, and I just confess I forgot many times after a direct answer from God to something. I mean, sometimes I've been trying to figure something out and just couldn't get it until I got on my knees and prayed. And then it seemed like the answer came immediately. I went on my way, and then I called myself up short. Man, I didn't even stop to thank God for that. I stopped. He gave me the answer I needed. I, you know what? It's good for me that I don't know how many times I did that, but it's good to know that God is gracious, and I suspect you've done things like that too. But the point is that we must not forget the goodness of the Lord, because he is God. That is his name. And no one is to be put above him or in his place. And so it says, therefore, they forgot me. Now, the last point that I'm intending to refer to in this time is, you know, I said that sometimes there are big words that are rendered in a small number of letters. So for me, the first word in verse number 7 is a big word. I said that's an awfully big word rendered in two letters, so don't miss it. Therefore, they forgot me. And now this word so, S-O, not very big, but here's what it says. I will be to them like a lion, like a leopard by the road, I will lurk. I will meet them like a bear deprived of her cubs. I will tear open their ribs, and there I will devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. O Israel, you are destroyed. But another big word in small letters, number of letters, your help is from me. So the Lord talks about what is going to happen there. You know, this reference to beast and how the beast can be damaging and all that. There are other references in Scripture that talk about that concept there. So the point is that God has made the provisions that were necessary. He gave the information that was needed. He raised up faithful prophets to tell the people what they needed to know. And that put responsibility on those people. So that is parallel to our situation. Because God has raised up for us people who have been faithful to His word to proclaim it in our hearing. And we have a responsibility to be not merely hearers but doers of the word. Now, no matter how faithful the people are who bring God's word to us are, they can't be the doers for us. No matter how faithful or godly they are, they can be faithful in what God committed to them to do, but they can't do our part. That is left to us. But we have a loving God just as Israel. And God bids us to do the right thing. And he says, come unto me, all you weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says to those who don't know him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He says, I have provided for you a way to eternal life through my Son, the only begotten, the only one who qualified to bear the sins of the whole world. I have provided him. He has already done the work. You need now to put your trust in him. Humble yourself and acknowledge that no matter what you do on your own strength, it will never be sufficient. You have to accept and trust what God has done. And some people will say they'll never do that. And I hope they're wrong. And I think some have said it who will now say how foolish that was. Because the Lord has opened their eyes and they have life now, eternal. So anyway, here we are in the book of Hosea. And we see God's dealings with them. And God says throughout, I am the Lord your God. I haven't done this study, but that phrase, I am the Lord your God, you just see it repeatedly all the way through there. Old Testament there, I am the Lord your God. I am, God says, even in the midst of their misbehavior. And we misbehave. And God says, if you're mine, behave. But if you don't, I'm going to have the last word on that. And I'm going to straighten you up. And it can be the easy way or the hard way. The easy way is to confess the sin and forsake it. And go on down the right path. The easy way, the hard way is to allow and to just be stubborn and allow God to have to bring his disciplining hand down upon us until he gets us straightened out again. So this is all we have for this morning. Hopefully this is helpful. I appreciate your time and your attention. And we're all in this together, you know, seeking to learn what God has for us and then to live according to it. So let's have a closing prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you because we know that our dependence is upon you, and that without you, we can do nothing. So we ask you to work in our hearts, to help us, for us to desire the things that are right in the face, in the light of God, and then for the help to do those things and to turn away from those things which ought not to be a part with us. We ask in the name of Christ the Savior with thanksgiving. Amen.